I tell you what, you can walk up down the street just doing things for God and just prosper if you're where He told you to be. But if He told you to go over there and get a job in that place, and you went over here and get a job in some other place, ask Jonah how that worked out for him.
I know my God has made the way for me. I know my God has made the way for me.
Are you living, working, and prospering in the place God has chosen for you? Join Kenneth Copeland today as he encourages you to seek the kingdom of God to unlock your future. Next, on the Believer's Voice of Victory. Previously on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
Colossians chapter 1. And we'll look beginning with the 12th verse. Now, I want to back up there. Let's back up to the 10th verse. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Now, look. Now, remember what the blessing was? Remember when He blessed Adam saying, be fruitful, multiply, fruitful. That's the word I want you to get. Be fruitful, multiply, have dominion over the earth, subdue it, and replenish the earth. Listen, if the storm has wiped out your house, I mean wiped out everything you've got, get down here on the inside and get into the Word, because replenish blessing is in your spirit if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you don't, choose Him today. Don't let another second go by. You can do it while I'm talking. You say, Jesus, I choose you. Take this mess and do something with it. Praise God. Now then He said, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. All glory. We've been delivered from the authority of darkness. Israel was delivered from the authority of darkness. There was light in the land of Goshen. There's light in Christ Jesus. I'll tell you, we're delivered from the authority of this dark, beat up, world trying to meet their own needs, scratching out a living that's cursed to begin with. Dear Lord, when all the time we can walk in the blessing, notice this, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Now, actually, in this, in this system, the whole world, for the most part, is caught up in one form or another of man trying to meet his own needs without God. And in all of those systems, they're all trying to get God out of the consciousness of the people. So, inside that, we are in this world, we're in this system, but we're not of it. I don't look to this system to meet my needs. I have as little to do with it as I possibly can. I don't borrow their money. I obey the laws of the land because the Scripture says to. But I'm blessed. I'm walking in the blessing of Abraham through Christ Jesus. So I'm not looking to them for any, I'm looking for them for as little as I mean they don't have anything over there that I need or want. I heard Jesse Duplantis preach a message one time that said, what in hell do you want? I don't want no part of them. Now, the people, that's different. I don't want any part of that system. So, now let's take a notice here. Let's go on, take another step with this. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians 6, and we'll begin with the 14th verse. 2 Corinthians 6. Now, listen to this very carefully. We choose Jesus. Our spirit man is recreated, delivered from the authority of darkness, translated into the kingdom, into the kingdom of God's dear Son. What happened when I did that? I became subjugated to Him. Remember when we brought that up? I am His subject. He's my King, and I'm His subject. I'm subject to what He says. I am subject to what He does. I am subject to the way He thinks. I'm not subject to darkness. I am not one of darkness' subjects. I'm not subject to their failures, unless I subject myself to it. Now, stay with me now. You remember the guy over here, the little heath out in the desert in Jeremiah 17? That said, cursed be the man that trusts in man and makes flesh his arm, whose heart departeth from the Lord. His heart departed from it. So what happened? He's like the heath in the desert, doesn't see when good comes, but will inhabit parched places in the wilderness in a salt land not inhabited. So what happened to him? He departed from his covenant, and when he did, he got out from under that and got over there in darkness. He walked out of the light. You know, this studio is lit. I've got light right here. As long as I stay in the light, you can see me pretty good. But if I start venturing off out in here, the further I get, the darker I get. You understand the illustration here? So you don't want to do that. You want to stay in the light as He is in the light. Walk in the light as He is in the light. If you take a step out into that darkness and you miss it, you sin, you used your mouth in the wrong way, you got out of the love of God, don't go another step. Jesus, I confess that as a sin. I did it, and I receive my forgiveness. I receive your mercy. I receive my cleansing right now, and praise God, I get back over here in the light. Oh, thank you, sir. Praise God. I don't like it out there. You stumble around out there, man. I mean, the ground's hard out there. Everything's hard out there. Now, I want you to get this now. Verse 14, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Be ye not unequally yoked. Now, wait a minute. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa. He's writing this to a church. Everybody he wrote this letter to already had made Jesus their choice. Everybody that the letter was written to was born again, baptized in the Holy Ghost, spoke with other tongues, and he preached and ministered in this church. They had been delivered from the authority of darkness. The devil didn't have any authority over them unless they subjugated themselves to him. One way or the other, walking by fear, disobeying the Word of God. That's the reason he wrote the letters. So now, listen to what he said. Don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Stay out of that system. Don't get hooked up over there trying to get what they have to make you a living. It's cursed. No, your living's already made. Jesus has already paid the price for it. All you need to do is whatever He tells you to do. Now, the workman is worthy of his hire. Let's talk about this for a moment, and before we get into this, because this has bearing. I don't want to lose you in this from reality. So let's take this for a moment. Why does anyone hire someone else? I'm not talking all the political reasons and all that kind of stuff. I'm talking about in reality. Why would I hire you? Well, the basic fundamental of a workman and his hire is someone has a problem and this workman knows how to solve it. Somebody needs something. This man, this woman, this company, and so forth, can solve that problem for me. The more difficult the problem, the higher the wage. The workman is worthy of his hire. If the job is so simple that just about anybody can do it, then you can hire just about anybody to do it, and that means there's a whole lot of people could do it. So it could be, a job, minimum wage job, we'll say. Well, on the other hand, what about the guy? Now, people usually try to overcome that through education. And most of them go to the world to get their education, so they really don't know no more than anybody else. So they've got a cap on them. And they just keep trying to get higher education. You're going to finally run up into, you can't find any more teachers. And most of them don't know anything anyway in that kind of a system. But, well, I'm not putting down education, nor am I putting down people. But the system itself is the problem. If I am teaching you today something out of a book that another man wrote that he learned from another man from his own education and so forth, you can see where the cap in it is in that. Now, if the teacher has some sort of delivery problem, he's not perfect. The student isn't perfect. And you got a book that isn't perfect. You're just passing natural human knowledge without God. You don't know anything. Well, it was his great education that kept him away from God. No, dear heart. Without God, he ain't got any education. He just got a lot of information. So, if, however, there is an anointing on the teacher and the words are coming from this perfect book, from heaven, through the born-again Holy Spirit, indwelt spirit of the teacher, into the heart and mind of a born-again child of God, now we have revealed knowledge, and you begin to walk in these ways, you begin to walk in the light, and suddenly you have a source of information and knowledge that the world doesn't have. So, what's going to happen when you walk in that minimum wage job? They may not be paying you hardly anything because you came in there to do a job that anybody off the street could do. But the Spirit of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, led you to go there. And He assigned you to go there. And you say, yes, sir. I mean, I live in the kingdom of God. The workman's worthy of his hire, but he ain't limited to it in this kingdom. Amen. I'm not tied to that minimum wage. So, what do I do? I go in there in this little job, and the Lord starts dealing with me and showing me things about this business, and just, I have one little insight over here, and I have another little insight over here and another little insight over here. And all of a sudden, things start working in there, and it starts prospering. It starts producing. Now, one of two things is going to happen. As the income flows in, and all of a sudden, it looks like I'm getting wealthy because I'm solving all these, and they think, whoa, let's get rid of him. We keep all the money. The only problem with that, they kick me out, and the business goes in the hole again. Amen. You just read it. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, read the thing. That's the way Daniel prospered. That's the way Joseph, in one day, came out of prison and became prime minister of the most powerful nation on the face of the earth. Why? They were problem solvers listening to God, who already knows what the problem is, who the problem is, when the problem is, and how to fix it. And if you will listen to him and walk in the light as he is in the light, I tell you what, you walk up down the street just doing things for God and just prosper if you're where he told you to be. But if he told you to go over there and get a job in that place and you went over here and get a job in some other place, ask Jonah how that worked out for him. Didn't do too good till he went over there where he's supposed to be. And then he prospered. So, now, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, here is a believer on one side. Here is an unbeliever. Somebody that's never chosen Jesus. Now, this can be someone that's chosen Jesus, but they're not walking in the Word. But now notice what he says here. He's talking about people that have never accepted Jesus as Lord of their life. For what fellowship has righteousness? So the Spirit of God through the Apostle Paul called the believer righteousness with unrighteousness. And what communion hath light with darkness? None. But we've been delivered from the authority of darkness and translated into the kingdom of light. That's where we are in the eyes of God. What concord hath Christ, the anointed one, with Belial, a demon of hell? None whatsoever. What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God, he called you the temple of God, with idols? You are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them, I will walk in them, I will be their God, they will be my people. Listen, listen. Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate. Get out of there. That's not talking about just getting born again. He wasn't writing this to sinners. Sinners get born again on it, but he's writing it to people that are already born again. They've already been delivered from the power of darkness, but they were still living subjugated to that Babylonian system instead of the kingdom of God. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Don't seek the things. Seek the kingdom. Now, come out from among them, and you be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean. Don't get over it. Stay out of their system. I will receive you. I will be a father unto you. You will be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved. Wow. Oh, well, what promises? Oh, those promises we just read. I'll be a God to you. Separate yourself from them. Get out of that system. You choose me. Choose blessing. Choose life. Choose my word. Make a choice. He didn't say, now, sweetheart, you know, you suffer over there a while, and I'll come dragging you. No, that ain't what he said. He said, you get out. You separate from the world system. You seek first. You come out. You can't serve two kingdoms. Jesus said, no man can do it. You cannot join up in everything they got over there, borrow everything they'll let you borrow, and then come to Jesus and ask him to pay it off. Now, if you'll come to Him and commit to Him, Jesus, I am on you. I'm learning how to walk in the kingdom of God. I'm coming in here. I'm going to walk in the blessing of Abraham. I need to be taught. I need to be trained. I need to know where I'm supposed to be. I need to know how to walk in these things. I commit to you, sir. I commit my life to you and to the kingdom of God. I seek first the kingdom of God. Well, Lord, I just got laid off today. Oh, what am I going to do? That's the wrong question, and you ask it to the wrong person. Seek first the kingdom. Why do you do what you do? Why did you have that job in the first place? Let me read you something here. Jesus said, all these things the Gentiles seek. So what was he talking about? All these things that they seek it. Well, that's the only way they have of getting it. But you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and they'll be added to you. But I want you to get this. Work hard, pay the rent, put food on the table, clothes on the children, someday retire. Boy, what a mission. That's a mission in life, ain't it? No, it's all me and us, no more. But in fact, let's go back over there. This is how you come out and be separate. You choose what Jesus said. You pray, and when Jesus said, the Spirit of truth has come, He'll lead and guide you into all the truth. And you come to the Lord, and you say, Lord, now look, the 103rd Psalm says, I have certain benefits, and all of my sins are forgiven me. All of my diseases are healed. And my life is redeemed from destruction. And I need to know how to do these things. I want to serve you. No man can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one, despise the other. You can't serve God and mammon. You can't serve two kingdoms. So Jesus, I'm serving the kingdom of God. Well, he said, take no thought for your life. What you eat, what you drink, nor yet for your body, what you put on, is not the life more than the raiment, and the body more than your clothes? Take no thought, saying, what are we going to do? Your heavenly Father knows you have need of these things. That's why He put it in the covenant.
When God said, let there be light, at 186,000 miles a second, the universe was born. The creative power released in those words lives inside you right now. The first thing God did after He created human life was to give mankind the blessing. You cannot earn it, buy it, or demand it. The blessing is the very creative force of God that is given to every believer, setting them up to thrive. Kenneth Copeland's latest book, The Blessing of the Lord Makes Rich and Adds No Sorrow to It, is the result of over 40 years of study, practice, and down-to-earth insights on the blessing. Filled with real-world examples that transformed Kenneth from debt and doubt to a lifestyle of health, wealth, and peace. Living less than blessed, knowing there's more to life than what you see? Failure is not an option, and success is guaranteed when you unlock God's blessing in your life. Make the change. Start today. Order The Blessing of the Lord Makes Rich and He Adds No Sorrow with It, the newest book by Kenneth Copeland. Go to kcm.org and purchase your copy today for only $19.99 and save 20%. Discover the keys to living every day completely blessed, the keys that changed Kenneth Copeland's life forever. Go online or call our toll-free number and order The Blessing of the Lord Makes Rich and He Adds No Sorrow with It today. God has empowered you to succeed. It's time for you to live blessed.
Hello, I'm Jeremy Pearsons. Now, today my grandfather, Kenneth Copeland, preached to us about choosing life, choosing the blessing, and seeking first the kingdom of God. This is an outstanding message, and I know it's changing your life as you listen to it and go over it and over it and over it. And I want to tell you about his brand new book called The Blessing of the Lord Makes Rich and He Adds No Sorrow With It. You need to know that there are benefits to living the way God says live. It's the benefits of living in the blessing. And when you know them, you can begin to apply them to your life in every situation. And it does not matter, listen to me, it doesn't matter how far into sin you got, into rebellion, failure, it doesn't matter. God loves you and He's got a way out of all of that. And God's will for man is the blessing. It's what God gave Jesus to put back on us, praise God, and He did it. Now receive it. And the Word of God works every time it's put to work, and it will work for you too. So order your book today, get a hold of these things, and watch your life begin to change right before your eyes. I want to tell you about the Toronto Spirit-Led Prayer Conference with my mom, Terry Pearsons, and Patsy Caminetti, along with other workshop speakers. It's September 28th through the 30th in Ontario, Canada. Now, these people know how to pray, and they want to teach you and share with you the things that the Lord has opened their eyes to and discover a whole new connection to God through prayer. Learn to speak God's language. Learn to communicate with Him and allow Him to communicate with you. It's going to be an outstanding meeting. Now, Kenneth Copeland has said there is a call for people of faith to move into a higher place of prayer, and that's why meetings like these are important. We need to partner together for these end times that you and I are living in, this awakening and the outpouring of the Spirit of God. This is a good time to be alive, but we need to learn how to do it. For more information about this meeting, you can go to kcm.org. Now, I invite you to join Kenneth Copeland again tomorrow as he continues to share about living in this kingdom of God. That is where you are called to live your life. Amen. This is Jeremy Pearsons reminding you that God loves you and we love you. And like Kenneth and Gloria always say, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For today's broadcast on DVD or CD, our product offer, or for more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries, visit our website at kcm.org. While you're online, you'll discover a resource of faith-based teaching and free information to help you find the answers you're looking for. If you need prayer, call Kenneth Copeland Ministries prayer line today. When you walk by faith, everything is going to be all right. Come to these exciting meetings. Live at East Coast Faith Conference with Kenneth Copeland and Dr. Stephen and Kelly Swisher, September 16th and 17th in Secaucus, New Jersey. Join Terry Copeland Pearsons for her Toronto Spirit-Led Prayer Conference with guest Patsy Caminetti, September 28th through 30th. Come to the 2011 Word Explosion with Kenneth Copeland and special guests, October 13th through 15th in Columbia, South Carolina. For more information, go to kcm.org. Tomorrow on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
You cannot alter God's Word to fit your lifestyle and get what God's Word was released to do in your life.